Hi everyone, my name is Hanan Muftich and welcome to Data Science Diaries. This is the first entry. It's meant to kind of document my trip to the CoData RDA Research Data Science Summer School, taking place at the Abdus Salam International Center for Theoretical Physics, which is in a little place just north of Trieste in Italy. I am sitting by the shores of the Adriatic. It's pretty close. I'm on a balcony within the building of the Adriatico Guest House. If I had a rock and I threw it, I think it would go into the ocean. So it's quite a nice place. But we are not really here to talk about the scenery, even though it is very pretty and there's lots of boats that you can take to sail around. We're here to talk about research data and the school that is being taking place for the next 2 weeks at this very international center. Today was the first day of the school, Monday the 5th of August, and I'm just going to take you through a little bit about what took place and some of my observations in terms of what I experienced, some of the people that I met, and the potential for the next 2 weeks. So the center has quite an international flavor that is very, very true, and it's evident in the body of students who are part of the summer school. There's a few of us who are kind of like the data stewards. And then there's the actual researchers who are early career researchers who come from a number of different places in the world with a strong emphasis for places, which is quite interesting in here that they're still calling it from the developing countries and not the developed ones. There's a kind of thing that makes sense. This center was started and it carries the name of the kind of founder and the person who had the idea, Abdus Salam, who was a theoretical physicist from Pakistan who had established this center, with the aim really of kind of spreading the knowledge and taking it away from the kind of Western overdeveloped environment and putting it into the hands of the rest of the people around the world. So we had a bit of an introduction given to us by one of the main kind of researchers within it and the head of research, Italian individual called Sandro Scandolo. He took us through what the center is about and what's possible, how it runs conferences. It allows fellowships, and it also does pre-PhD preparation programs for physicists, of course, focusing on the kind of computer science, math, and now heading into the bioinformatics era as well. As part of our opening welcome, we also had an address given to us by Romain Murenzi. He was the Minister of Science in Rwanda at a point. He has worked for UNESCO and now is the head of the World Academy of Science. What he was talking to us, what his way of introduction was looking at the focus of data and how it's around us. But I think his message towards the end was really focusing on the fact that, and it's tying in with what the center is all about, the fact that data that's being produced, a lot of data that can be found from like the African continent, which I obviously he was an example and coming that he's of that continent, still ends up being analyzed and processed in the hands not in African hands, and then Africa itself has to struggle for the access to it. So there was a lot of talk about infrastructure and pressing upon us the concept that this data studies needs to kind of be taking place everywhere around the world. And that's quite important as a new developing science, that it mustn't necessarily just fall in certain hands, which is what the school is all about, and that's kind of its motto. So that's an important point. So after the welcoming address, staying a bit more connected to the African continent in a way, the next presenter and one of the kind of key facilitators of the Research Data Science Summer School is Louise Bezadenot, who is now teaching or working at Oxford University. And her presentation, which was very interactive, and that was great because it gave us a chance to meet each other. She put us into groups and asked us to discuss certain questions and certain topics. And that was really wonderful because you got a chance to meet a few of the people that were in it, not everyone at once, but at least within your small group. And you also got a sense of how clued up everybody is. Her presentation started off with being about responsible conduct of research. She just threw the acronym RCR, and I think there were a few of us who were like, oh, we hadn't heard of that one before. And then when she explained it, it kind of made sense because it's all about sending a good behaviors for research, for the responsible conduct, and how an extension of that within the digital age is now put within the umbrella term of open science, which is another thing we had to define together as a group and put the definitions, to assemble them to come up with something quite cohesive. And it just, her kind of key point of the day was looking at if you are a researcher, you're really a citizen of the research community. And just like any citizen of the world, your aim there is to try to improve the quality of life for everyone, not just for yourself. So it does seem quite noble and great to think of it that way. She did mention it's not always as easy as that, and I think later on in the week we have a session where we look at the challenges of applying this. But overall, her session was quite a great example of how to go about introducing the topic of open science as something that I might have to do in the future, and having it tie in with conducts of research that already take place. Then the next session was hosted by Gail Clement, and she's from Caltech. She works with repositories, and she seems to also be, well, she doesn't seem, but she is one of the kind of activists within Author Carpentry. Her presentation was all about setting up an ORCID ID and learning how ORCID works. For her, ORCID is your most important factor. It is the playing piece, as she describes it, in the game board of publishing. It is what you need. It is what a permanent. And she spent a lot of time looking at how do you keep adding your data to an ORCID. Simple things, just using your ORCID when people ask for bios, just forwarding them the ORCID link to your biography. She also gave us examples of how to pull information from other sites, whether it's linking in with other databases around the world, whether it's putting it manually, whether it's typing it in Markdown. And you just got a sense of the breadth of her knowledge of the landscape of publishing and her ability to kind of describe that what is so great about ORCID is the fact that it's kind of been agreed upon now as a non-profit standard that everybody can use. And even all the kind of companies that have been around before are kind of adjusting their legacy systems to tie in with this. So it just made me think of the importance of what Nicholas keeps saying about a personal identifier, persistent personal identifier for yourself as a researcher going forward. In this thing, and there's a note for me in the future, it was something found within playing with ORCID, is the ability that you can add works which are not necessarily written published works. So they actually have a field for, like, or category for performance. And I was asking her whether, you know, she think it would be possible to kind of do a markdown of all the different performances and have it batch upload for certain lecturers who consider performances their outputs. And she still said that she thinks having a DOI for it would be quite a lot better, because then it would give you an opportunity to have that permanent information. So it made me think about the fact that what we're trying to do with the humanities kind of faculty is look at researchers who've done artistic works, putting together a portfolio of evidence, and then putting it publishing it on Ziva Hub, having a DOI, and then because your ORCID is linked to your Ziva Hub, which we've done quick guides on about, that makes it almost immediately connect and realize that you are published. The second half of the day, the bulk of the second half, was led by the person who actually interviewed me for the conference, Hugh Shanahan, who's a computer scientist and a doctor in that and a lecturer. And he was guiding us through the software carpentry Unix shell lessons, which are ones that I've done before at eResearch Africa. But what I think really made a difference was just his enthusiasm and his comfort with the material and his ability to still be a teacher in between and explain different concepts. He was just, his enthusiasm never let up. And even though it's a bit of a challenge and a struggle, because with these kind of synchronous kind of typing and synchronous following, if you are moving faster, you get distracted and you lose your place. If it's moving too fast for you, then you feel like you can never catch up. It's not an easy one, and we have a few more coming up, so we're going to see how they go. And maybe it could just be the fact that I've done this one before, and I need more kind of practical experience and messing around with it. And I think it's about learning how to use your time wisely if you feel like you're like a little bit of a step. If you know a little bit more, then you're not a complete and true beginner. Two more things to mention. The one is towards the end, they asked us an ethics question, which is quite interesting, and it was all about how would you go about giving training on a Unix shell for people whose principal mode of communication is not English, which is a big challenge considering that the Unix commands are all kind of extension of English words, or not extensions, but concatenations or shortenings of English words. And they asked us to draw up suggestions and give it to them. And this will be compiled at a later point. So they are considering and looking forward to, and I think they're kind of using it as a way of going forward, how do they adjust these lessons so that they work for everyone? The biggest part of this conference, of course, is meeting other researchers and getting some time to see how everybody has the same kind of issues that they're dealing with or might have found certain solutions. So one of the people I'd actually already met from yesterday, and it was really interesting, but it was also kind of fortuitous because we met each other on the bus on the way to the conference. She's from the University of Bergamo, and she's really the only Italian participant in the conference. Her name is Cristiana Pisoni, and she's the repository manager, the digital repository manager of the University of Bergamo, which is on the other part of Italy. And it runs on a DSpace platform that she kind of, she's the one in charge of making sure that it runs. It hasn't gotten to the part of having data yet, and this is something that she wants to kind of really establish, and she's been collecting information about it. But just having her guide me or show me a bit through her work just made me understand some of the issues that we're also having ourselves. So she's a really good person to have met and to keep in contact with. I hope that I'll be able to make other connections as the 2 weeks happen, and maybe bring some a few other people to talk about the day's events and what they thought.